This is Brian Cambria with this news for the KVNF listening area Friday, November 30th, 2012. Investigators began a thorough search of the property of Mark Redwine, father of the missing 13-year-old Dylan. La Plata County Sheriff's Office spokesman Dan Bender says his office is not calling Mark Redwine a suspect, but since the house was the last place Dylan was seen, they want to do a more thorough search of the house and property for any information that can help direct them to Dylan. According to the Durango Herald, Mark Redwine has previously allowed authorities access to his house. About 15 members of the Dylan Redwine Task Force, including federal investigators, are helping the sheriff's office in the search warrant. The task force is also continuing their investigations and canvassing in the area surrounding Vallecito Reservoir. Citizens who have information that may aid in the search for Dylan are encouraged to leave a voicemail message on the Dylan Redwine tip line at 970-382-7511. Peonia's former town finance officer, who has been accused of stealing nearly $400,000 from the town over several years, has been cooperating with investigators over recent months. But the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that Kristen Chesnick currently has no arrangements to pay Peonia back. Chesnick appeared before Delta County Judge Sandra Miller for the first time Wednesday, along with Grand Junction attorney David Eisner. The Sentinel reports that Chesnick was advised on one charge of felony theft of more than $20,000 and ordered back to court in mid-January. The Colorado Bureau of Investigation has concluded Chesnick used nearly $400,000 in town funds for personal expenses between January 2007 and December 2011. CBI and prosecutors won't specify the expenses that were made with taxpayer dollars. Colorado's drought is unrelenting. Much of the state is still under severe and extreme drought. That's left the state's reservoirs below where they need to be. And water managers are already starting to hedge their bets in case of another dry winter. From Aspen Public Radio, Luke Runyon reports.
Driving around the state, it's no secret that Colorado's dozens of reservoirs are low. Muddy shorelines can be seen on nearly all of them. But some of that is normal for this time of year. Reservoirs are always low in the late fall after irrigation season has ended.
So to a certain extent, we would expect that this time of year. However, looking statewide, the reservoirs are actually about 70 to 80% of what their average level would be right now.
That's Kevin Ryan, an engineer with the state's Division of Water Resources, meaning many reservoirs are missing a fourth of the water they usually hold. Ryan says the numbers aren't alarming, but it's enough to make water managers wary. And Ryan says all eyes will be on this winter's snowpack.
We're at a time of the year right now when water demands are lower. Certainly agricultural demands are lower. Municipal demands are lower because the outside uses are not so great. So the water providers, they do have an opportunity now to see how the next few months are going to go.
But some folks in charge of reservoirs have already begun taking precautions. The Bureau of Reclamation has already slowed how much water it's releasing from Rudi Reservoir outside Basalt. Kara Lamb is the Bureau's spokesperson.
So we are trying to cut back what we're passing on downstream in anticipation of trying to hold a little in the reservoir. So we're ready if the dry conditions continue into the spring and we don't get the kind of snowpack that everyone's hoping for.
Lamb says her office takes into account long-term winter forecasts when divvying up water in its many reservoirs. She says it'll take plenty of big snowstorms to make up for the water deficit we're seeing now. But she says it's been done before, after a dry year 10 years ago.
We followed that with a big spring snowstorm in March of 2003, which did make up in part for some of the losses we had due to the dry season before. But who knows what will happen.
For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Luke Runyon.
There is additional food help available for seniors on a fixed income. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that the Commodity Supplemental Food Program, which provides extra food every month to seniors in Mesa, Montrose, Delta, Garfield, Ouray, and San Miguel counties, will expand a little this year. This is the first time in 3 years that the program has expanded. The program is available to seniors 60 years and older who meet certain income conditions. There's currently room for 40 more people who qualify. People in the program receive boxes of food once a month. To determine if you are eligible, call 241-3651. And now for the latest edition of Western Slope Skies, a joint production of KVNF and the Black Canyon Astronomical Society.
This month marks an anniversary for Western Slope Skies. Our first broadcast was in November of 2011, and Jupiter was the topic. Once again this year, Jupiter will be the brightest object in the night sky. It rises in the east during evening twilight in late November. Jupiter is the largest planet in our solar system. More than 1,300 Earths could fit inside Jupiter. While it orbits the Sun once every 12 years, Jupiter spins on its axis in just 10 hours. So a Jupiter day is only 10 hours long. Similar to the other three planets outside of the asteroid belt, Jupiter is a gas giant. While Jupiter's upper atmosphere is almost entirely hydrogen and helium, the colors that we see are caused by small amounts of other compounds, including ammonia, phosphorus, sulfur, and hydrocarbons. Visible in the constellation of Taurus for the remainder of the year, Jupiter will stay in the evening sky in the west until May. The star cluster called the Pleiades is also close to Jupiter during the late fall and winter. The Pleiades is visible to the naked eye from moderately dark sites and easily visible with binoculars. Look for a tight grouping of stars just west of Jupiter. If you have access to a telescope, Io, one of Jupiter's moons, will cross the face of Jupiter beginning at 8:26 p.m. on November 30th. This crossing, or transit, will take slightly longer than 2 hours. It is easier to see the shadow of a moon than the moon itself. You've been listening to Western Slope Skies, produced by members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. I'm Brian Cashin.
And finally, Gunnison County Road 12, also known as Kebler Pass, is now closed for the season and will reopen sometime next spring. Thus concludes the newscast. Thanks for listening. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.